Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's Word to raising children in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello and hallelujah. We have finally arrived at part 10 in this 10-part series, evaluating the claimed benefits of smartphone ownership for children, as stated by Dr. Peter Gray in his Substack, Play Makes Us Human. Now, he has listed 9 benefits: outdoor safety, navigation, documentation, education, self-expression, amusement, connecting with peers, building digital skills, and now our final benefit that he states, of being trusted. As we have been doing every episode, we're going to listen to what Peter Gray has to say about this and then state what is true about his claim and then evaluate it through a biblical worldview in order to recognize whether this, quote, benefit of being trusted is actually beneficial or if it's biblical. Now, before I read Peter Gray's explanation of the benefit of being trusted, I need to define one of his terms that he uses. He uses this acronym of TAS parent, which means trustful, autonomy supportive parent. Describes this as a parenting style based on the belief that children have an internal drive for development and learning, and that parents should support rather than direct this process. Okay, now let's hear how he describes this benefit. He says, quote, growing up with a sense of being trusted is a big part of the advantage of having a TAS parent. Trust implies trustworthiness, and that can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. The TAS parent who gives a child a smartphone is not negligent, but is deliberately helping the child acquire essential skills of our time. The gift comes, or should come, with a respectful discussion about the potential dangers of this tool and how to mitigate them, end quote. Okay, so this claim that he says is that a smartphone communicates trust. Trust produces trustworthiness, and trustworthiness will be exhibited by a child after a respectful discussion of the smartphone's dangers. So that's my summary. So here's what is true about this claim. Yes, indeed, trust matters. Children flourish under appropriate trust and responsibility, and they feel stifled and insecure when they are sheltered from experience or protected from unknown harms and absolved of personal accountability. Now, knowing that trust is important and taking Peter Gray's perspective in order to evaluate whether this is truly beneficial and, of course, biblical, there are 4 questions that we need to ask and then deeply consider. The first question we have to consider is how much trust is earned or accumulated with naturally progressing maturity. So I'm thinking, we don't leave 4-year-olds home by themselves in the name of trust and autonomy, right? There are just some risks that are too great. We don't trust a 6-year-old to effectively use a chainsaw, or an 8-year-old to drive a car. These are all privileges that are earned over the course of time with training and with maturity. A child's brain has to be at a certain level of risk evaluation and awareness. Otherwise, we would all consider these examples negligent if a parent let an 8-year-old drive a car. If something happened to a child in one of these scenarios, the parents could not argue, you know, to the police or in a court of law that they weren't negligent because they were helping their child feel trusted and acquire the necessary skills of our time. That just wouldn't fly. As we discussed in the last episode, and frankly, almost every other episode, the smartphone is not the same kind of tool to be skilled at as those type of tools that have existed in the past. The device itself is not designed to be neutral, and in the internet at large and fallen mankind that occupies the internet spaces and all of the apps that create this environment of personalized persuasion and influence that a child just doesn't have the brain development to handle. This is no different than expecting them to take care of themselves at age 4 or drive a car at age 8. Okay, so the second question we must ask and consider is, how much do you trust your child versus how much do you trust the big tech companies? See, there was a time when we all blindly trusted these tech companies and assumed that they cared about us as humans, as adults, and about children and children's safety. You know, for those paying attention, these companies have been exposed now for their money and power-driven agendas. I mean, the sheer fact that several CEOs have openly discussed how their own children don't use their products should reveal to us as lay consumers that we shouldn't trust their products with our own children. Right? You can trust that your child knows right and wrong, but if the companies that are making the products they engage with don't seem to understand right and wrong, then our kids are at great risk of being manipulated by them. And that question really leads us to a third question that we need to ask and consider. Do we trust the fallen world's access to our children through the device and all of its apps? Because while the internet and internet-connected devices can be used in incredible, gospel-advancing, edifying ways, they are also used for evil, right? Every man, woman, and child is a sinner. We all fall short from the glory of God. Our hearts are desperately sick with sin. Without redemption in Christ, right? Man's heart is bent towards evil. We see this online in both obvious and subtle ways. So the obvious are the bullying, hate, the online pornography, hacking, trafficking, data breaches, phishing, scams, like all of these are driven by the sinfulness of man. And the subtle ways happen when users take a platform or an online space and make it into something like the creators of that platform never intended it to be. Like, I'd like to assume that Snap Inc. did not intend for Snapchat to be a hub of illegal drug sales, but that's where the users took it. Now, interestingly, I learned this fun fact while reading Taylor Lorenz's book, Extremely Online. Kevin Systrom, the founder of Instagram, so let's go back like, you know, 15 years when it was founded, he was originally dead set against any sort of advertising on the platform and financially compensating anyone with a large following. And at one point, Justin Bieber's manager demanded that Justin be compensated for his public posts or he'd leave the platform. Well, Kevin Systrom called his bluff and refused to pay for those posts. And so Justin did leave the platform, but came right back to the platform. So in the end, you know, it was the people on the platform, the users, who figured out how they could turn their large followings into profit by seeking out brand deals. So that was never the intention of Instagram, but that's what it became. It became about influencers and consumerism by the users, not its creators. So you see, the risks that come with a smartphone are not always caused exclusively by its design. A lot of those risks also are caused by the sinfulness of man. It's just what happens when you give the entire world the tools to access anyone and everyone anonymously. There has always been evil in this world. Now, with online media and tech devices like smartphones, evil can now collaborate, it can coordinate, and it can communicate with anyone, including children, online. Finally, the last question we must ask and deeply consider in this idea of trust as a benefit of smartphone ownership is, what is our command? Are we to trust our children or to trust God and his word given to us in scripture. Because ultimately, we should know as Christians, our trust must be first in the creator and sustainer of all life, who from him and through him and for him are all things. That's Romans 11:36. So yes, trusting our child is an important aspect of developing their confidence, their independence and responsibility, but at the root of the trust that we place in our child, it must be the trust that we have in God by obeying his word and submitting to his sovereign control, knowing that he cares for our children and knows our children, right, better than we do as their parents. The reason why tech advocates, and frankly, so many parents across the globe, encourage the use of smartphones by kids is that they don't fear God, right? They haven't placed their faith in Jesus, so they do not have a trust in God's sovereignty, right? Instead, that trust has to be placed somewhere, so they trust in their children's innate goodness, or they're trusting in science, they're trusting in progress, they're trusting in anything but the God of creation. So it makes a lot of sense then why this evolutionary psychologist, Peter Gray, is saying that children should have smartphones, because it is a tool that aids in adaptation to the world, or as he says, acquire the essential skills of our time. Because if we are all reliant on our own selves and our own skills, well, then these skills better be learned early on in childhood if we are going to survive. And this lack of faith and trust in God is also why Peter Gray describes this TAS parenting, trusting, autonomy, supporting parenting, as the best type of parenting. So let me read how Peter Gray explains this in his letter number 89 on being a trustful, autonomy supporting parent. He says, quote, "One way, not the TAS way, to try to promote safety is to prevent children from doing anything that involves risk. Prevent them from going outdoors, anywhere away from the home without an adult. Don't let them use sharp knives or build fires or climb trees or turn on the oven. Don't let them have a smartphone or use social media. Such restrictions reduce certain immediate risks, but they also greatly reduce learning opportunities, reduce the child's sense of autonomy, reduce joy, and reinforce a message of distrust in the child's competence," end quote. Okay, so prevention of risk or harm, he asserts here, is not wisdom, right? Prevention has its own risk, and those are reducing learning opportunities, reducing joy, but those are worse off than the risks of getting addicted to pornography on a smartphone or developing an eating disorder because of the social media content being consumed on the smartphone. Now, another description of a TAS parent is that they must respect the child's privacy. So listen to what he says here, quote, "Just as TAS parents don't read their children's diaries, they don't monitor their internet explorations or the messages they send to friends. They don't require detailed reports of what the child did every time the child was away from home, and they certainly don't use digital tracking devices to follow their children's every move away from home," end quote. Now, what he's describing here is the overbearance of surveillance parenting, but what he really means is there's no accountability, right? Full autonomy for the children under the belief that kids are resilient and they will live and learn. Now, while I do disagree with most of his descriptions for TAS parenting, not everything he claims here is inaccurate. Children do need a level of managed risk and privacy as they grow up. And I too believe, as many of you have heard me talk about before, that digital tracking of children's every move is not helpful. But if we consider what he's suggesting here with these descriptions, it is a child with an unmonitored and unrestricted smartphone that will likely not only harm that child, but the child's friends and peers, because we know that's just what happens. Based on everything we have learned over the past 10 to 15 years of giving children smartphones, social media, video games, right? This does not appear to be wisdom. In fact, I wholeheartedly believe that you can probably find, you know, some of the young millennials and older Gen Z who would say that it's this very combination of unmonitored, unrestricted internet access and smartphone access that was their demise in childhood. I've heard these young adults' testimonies. I've spoken to many who believe that their parents were negligent in allowing so much access at such a young age. I mean, personally, and I think that you as parents can agree with me, there are times that I wish my parents hadn't trusted me so much. I wish their recognition of my like lying, sinful teenage self would have stopped me from doing some of the things that I did, right? Because I wasn't learning skills to help me adapt to the world around me, right? I was just sinning as a teenager. And so it's funny that Peter Gray specifically uses the word negligent to describe what TAS parents are not, right? Back in that original description of the benefit, he says, you know, they're not negligent if they give a smartphone. They're not negligent for allowing their child so much access to harmful and addictive media and technology, he claims. Well, let's just consider that the opposite of negligence is prudence, right? Prudence is having the ability to calculate risk, to look to see if there's danger and avoid it, to avoid risk, to act wisely. And negligence is the failure to exercise any sort of reasonable care or risk management. You know, as I talked about prudence in several episodes of this series, God calls his people to be prudent, right? Proverbs 27:12, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. The simple keep going in their negligence, right? That's what we see. Proverbs 13:16, all who are prudent act with knowledge, but fools expose their folly. So there's so much knowledge available about the generalized harms of smartphones to children. To not act on this really is negligent. I mean, when the Surgeon General, when you have, you know, both left and right, you know, secular and Christian, you have all people from all over agreeing that this much access with young children is not good for them, that it is negligent to ignore all of this, all of these warnings from experts and just do it anyway in the name of trust. So there's this another unspoken part of this whole idea of letting children adapt and learn and survive online. He says that they are supposed to be respectfully warned of the dangers. Okay, well, what does that even mean? Right? Most parents are still clueless about the nuanced dangers for kids online. You know, many think it's just about screen time. Some think it's about the quality of the content. But it's like, is there a standard list of dangers that we can have this respectful conversation? The platforms, the devices, and the apps, they're always evolving. The way that kids are using them are always changing. So who has this list, this standard list of potential dangers and safety rules nailed down, right? How on earth can any parent know what to, quote, respectfully teach a child, especially if the child is so young? How, when, like, so young that they cannot even discern what is right versus wrong in the midst of all of this? The idea of just having a respectful conversation about the dangers, in my opinion, is also negligent. So I would argue that the trust Peter Gray suggests to be given to children in order to build competence and these essential future skills is really just a trust in the evolutionary process or the adaptation process. It's sort of that mindset of, I did all sorts of crap when I was a kid and I turned out just fine, right? And that is such a common mindset. And I get it. I really do. Because our lives were different. We did some stuff and we did turn out okay. But this mindset really needs to be dismantled. It does not effectively consider the new formative risks associated with smartphones because it's not the same kind of tool that we use or engage with when we were young. These are formational devices. They are influencing worldview, character so much when they are in the hands of our kids. And here's what I've seen. Even secular writers are admitting that this old narrative of kind of the quote, I turned out just fine, is collapsing. I also just read a book review of Michaeline Duclof's book, Dopamine Kids, which I've read her book too, and it is good. But the journalist writing the review noted that getting on board with Duclof's program outlined in the book requires, quote, a middle of the line liberal reader who believes children are fundamentally good and will grow up fine no matter what you do, will have to embrace a few key principles that very much go against their worldview, end quote. So why would they have to alter their worldview? Because you cannot place your trust in science in order to lead you to truth, right? You can't expect children to naturally evolve into decent moral members of society without teaching them what is morally good, right, and true, especially in an age where they have access to every immoral idea possible, right? Exposing children to the evil that exists online through early and unmonitored and unrestricted access does not produce fundamentally good adults in a thriving society. And again, trusting in science, trusting in evolution, all of that is changing. It's constantly changing. It's what they call mutable, right? It has evolved, essentially, right? Evolve means change, and it's constantly changing with technology. So many people, including Peter Gray, put their trust in science. But again, it's changing all the time. Scripture, however, is unchanging. It is immutable. And that is why it is authoritative. And this authoritative word tells us how to live, whom to trust, how to raise children, and how to adapt to the changing world while not conforming to its patterns, right? Romans 12:2. So let's just look at how scripture describes trusting God. Jeremiah 17:7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Trusting the Lord brings so many benefits, especially confidence in times of crisis. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Right? Trusting the Lord with all of our heart means that the trust goes beyond mere intellectual assent, right? It shows that we have a deep reliance on the Lord and a settled confidence in his faithfulness, that he is going to do what he said he would do. That's what we are to teach our children. That's where their trust needs to be placed in. Matthew 6:25 to 27. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body. What you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? See, anxiety is a God-given response. If you're in a dark alley in a bad part of town, anxiety is appropriate, right? It's the activation of fight or flight response. But if you're worked up with anxiety over not having the latest fashion trend, that anxiety is not appropriate. Again, what we need to teach our children. Psalm 20:6 through 7. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Oh, I love these verses because in the Old Testament, God shows time and time again that he can deliver his people through miraculous means, right? It was never by acquiring chariots, or horses, but by God. And the same is true today. So many people are trusting in technology and wealth, but we are to trust in the name of the Lord our God, because our final cause of success or salvation is God. He's our Redeemer. He will get the glory, not smartphones, not artificial intelligence, and not our trusting, autonomy-supporting parenting. That is not going to get the glory. And then let me just add Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Right? Clear command of parental responsibility. We aren't to be unfair, harshly treating our children, but discipling them with love and discipline, right? Not in negligence. Trusting God is not a blind exercise in faith. It's not, you know, an ignorance of science, nor is it a blanket pass to just be uninvolved because, you know, God's got this. We trust God because we can understand his attributes both from creation itself and from scripture. And we know that he is a faithful God. He is unchanging, eternal. He is just, loving. He is patient, truthful, merciful, holy, sovereign. Nowhere in scripture is parenting positively described in terms of live and learn. Nowhere is there even the notion that nature will guide a child into morality and holiness. Right? In the book of Proverbs, there are thorough warnings from a father to his son about choosing the right path the first time, not allowing corruption to occur from the start. Scripture does not command anywhere that we are to, quote, trust our child, and then it will go well with them. That promise of a sovereignly protected well life occurs when children obey their mother and father. Then it goes well with them. When they trust in themselves, they end up in folly because their hearts are bound by folly. That's Proverbs 22:15. They need discipline, the word of God says. They need to be shepherded. They need to be discipled. This is what it looks like to trust God over and above trusting yourself or trusting your child. It's obedience to the repeated commands of scripture. Okay, so now let me just return to the original claim from Peter Gray just to tie this all up for us. Peter Gray argues that allowing a smartphone during childhood is not negligent, but rather deliberately helps them learn the skills of the time. His claim is that to have a smartphone as a child is equivalent to being trusted. But we know that these aren't digital skills that lead to success in the digital world. And Peter Gray is equating smartphones with trust, but smartphones don't grant trust. They grant access to all that the world has to offer, both good and evil. As followers of Christ, we know, though, that the world has nothing we need. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. The benefits that Peter Gray describes that come along with being trusted, they are indeed critical benefits of childhood and adolescence. But there are other less destructive ways to convey trust in your child to obtain these benefits. It does not have to be on a smartphone. Again, that's just the most convenient way. So instead, right, you can trust your children with chores and responsibility. Trust them with minimally supervised freedom, playing outside, exploring the world around them. Even if they get dirty or make a mess, you could trust them to even walk into the grocery store and buy a gallon of milk, right? Trust them with staged technology use, such as a home phone or a shared kid-safe phone with their siblings, or even structured computer use in a public area of the home. Right? These are all sufficient ways to build trust in your child's life. All right, so then, as always, I want to leave you with some questions to ponder and think through as you just consider this idea biblically and the idea that a smartphone conveys trust in your child. Question number one, do my rules and boundaries reflect fear and apathy, or do they reflect faithful obedience and trust in God? Number two, what responsibilities has my child already proven faithful in, such as chores, character, speech, obedience? Number three, Am I more concerned with my child, quote, feeling trusted than I am with forming them into a trustworthy person? And number four, am I calling my actions of giving a smartphone, quote, trusting my child, so I can avoid the hard work of discipleship, device management, and saying no? All right, well, as we wrap up this entire series, here is what I hope has become clear to you over the last 10 episodes. Dr. Peter Gray's 9 benefits are legitimate goods in this world, right? Safety, navigation, learning, creativity, fun, friendship, skills, trust. The problem is not that any of these are wrong. The problem is the leap that he wants to take, where we treat smartphone as the necessary or most convenient way to obtain those goods. And week after week, we saw the same pattern. The smartphone offers a narrow potential benefit to, you know, obtain this good, but it also comes with every sinful vice, temptation, overconsumption, comparison, distraction. So our conclusion is that the smartphone trades formation for convenience, most especially at younger ages. Allowing a smartphone for an immature and impressionable child surrenders the work of discipleship to the device, all under this lie that it's beneficial and it's necessary. You can provide and teach your children these same goods of safety, navigation, education, creativity, fun, friendship, right, digital competence. All of that can be developed without a smartphone. These benefits are foundational parts of childhood, and they have been achieved without digital devices for millennia. So I do not want us going forward bowing to this god of convenience. Struggle and friction and inconvenience are what lead to growth. As hard as it may be in this time, in this place, this is what God has called us to not conform to those patterns of convenience, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, which comes from God's word, which puts an emphasis on discipleship and formation. It is my prayer that through these podcasts, you have really come to see how the great deceiver called convenience is silently destroying what it means to be human. And that the smartphone, yes, it can be a helpful and convenient tool for adults who are fully formed. But in the hands of a child, it's like a compass that only points back to themselves, never outwards and into the world, only to look at themselves. And that is what we are working against. But we can be brave and we can do it. Thank you so much for listening, for tuning in. Please share this series with a friend if they need it. I would just love that. Reach out if you have any questions at all. You can reach me at podcast@braveparenting.net. And until next week, where we will be talking about something a little bit different than smartphones, go and be brave.